Il corner dentro, il colpo di testa, Zapata! Zapata! Dovrebbe essere gol! È gol! Zapata! Lo dice la Goal Line Technology! Al 97esimo il Milan trova il 2-2! Impazzisce la curva sud!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, and I'm joined once again by Madison.
Hey, thanks for having me back, and you guys can find me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, and we'd normally be joined by AJ, but unfortunately he can't make it this week. But since it's a pre-Derby della Madonnina special, we've decided to get someone from the other side of the city. Cammy Anderson from Sempre Inter. Cammy, introduce yourself.
Hi there, guys. Thanks for having me on. As you say, I'm obviously Cammy Anderson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cammy Anders.
Perfect. So yeah, let's before we get into it, this show is brought to you by our friends over at Euro Fantasy League, and if you haven't already, then make sure you check out our Serie A Fantasy League, and you can find out more details about that on our Twitter page. But with that out of the way, let's get straight into it. Obviously, on this Sunday coming, there's an absolutely huge game happening. I think it would be fair to say that Inter have had a bit of a down then up start to the season, Cammy.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, in pre-season we looked quite good. Lautaro and Icardi were linking up nicely, and we were kind of showing signs of looking pretty decent in a sense. Then obviously the season came round, and we just seemed to lose it all. But we're now picking it up, and I don't think I can really complain on the past few weeks.
Yeah, it seems like the team has really sort of gone on a bit of an upturn. What do you think has been the main factor behind that? Do you think that you've sort of switched the style of play, or is it simply that Icardi's got back to his best, Perisic seems to be contributing again, or is it just a combination of things falling into place?
Personally, I think it all changed when Rajan Angolan came back. Obviously, he missed the start of the season through injury, but since he's came back, everything's changed. Obviously, Spalletti's instilled this never-say-die mentality at the club. We've won several games late on, and I'm not sure if that's just what it's down to, but at the same time, we have had a bit of an easier run than yourselves lately, so I don't know if it's just a case of just doing as we should really be doing.
Yeah, from our point of view, obviously we want to see you struggle as much as possible. But but in fairness, you know, it's kind of it's been the precursor to what should be a really, really interesting derby on Sunday night. Obviously, we're I believe it's 9 unbeaten in all competitions now. We've had a bit of an upturn ourselves. We're below you in the league, but we've got games in hand, so you know that's going to be important. Obviously, as time goes on, what's your general opinion on how this game's going to go? Are you confident? Are you not confident?
Well, based on obviously our recent form, your recent form, it'd be easy to suggest it's going to be a draw. But we're both on good runs and whatnot. But then at the same time, we've won our last 6. With all due respect, you haven't. But I don't know. It's a derby. You don't know how it's going to go. It's just one of those games that, as many always say in the media, whoever's the favourite never wins. So, and yeah, it's just, I really can't call it at the moment.
I think that Inter being the designated home team for this game might have some kind of impact.
Yeah, definitely. Thankfully, fortunately even, I'm going to actually be there on Sunday.
That's what I was leading up to, mate.
Hopefully I can cheer the boys on to a nice victory and keep my 100% record when it's San Siro.
Yeah, hopefully not. Maddy, do you echo Cammy's thoughts? Do you think this is going to be a tight derby? You know, what kind of a game should we be hoping for?
I mean, I probably agree with everything that he said, because I mean, in the derbies, the majority of the time we're going to get a draw. I feel like every time there's a hyped up derby, we get a draw. Every time, like last season when we were struggling and they were flying high, we beat them. Or no, that was 2 years ago when we beat them 3-0. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was there for that. That was a great night.
Yeah, and we were struggling that season. And if it's not going to be a draw, I think that either team is going to win with scoring a goal in the last 10 minutes. Ooh. I don't think that it's going to be a takeaway for either team. I think it's be a very hard game to win, and I hope that AC Milan come out victorious.
Cammy, why do you think it is that sort of everyone seems to be expecting a draw? Is it because, you know, everyone's expecting the players to be nervous because there's so much riding on this game early in the season, the bragging rights, and obviously the position in the table?
I certainly think there's a lot of factors. Obviously, there's lots of changes being made in the teams over the summer, so it'll be a new experience for lots of these players. Many of them have maybe played in other derbies, but it's not the Milan derby. Like I said, Raja Nainggolan hasn't played in the Milan derby, but he's played in the Rome derby. So his experience in a derby atmosphere can obviously help. But then you've got players such as yourselves, you signed players from out with Italy who haven't had this Italian derby experience. So it's really going to be interesting to see how it all pans out.
And what do you think about Spalletti versus Gattuso as a coaching matchup? It could be quite interesting because Gattuso has shown his ability to kind of outsmart top coaches in the past. Do you reckon Spalletti might have his number, or, you know, could he come unstuck depending on the kind of system that he plays?
Well, given our kind of under Spalletti, I think we've only lost the once. I want to say it was the Juventus game, where we'll just not go any further into that. That was a complete disaster that night near the end. I think that's the only time I've actually lost to one of your traditional big teams in Italy under his kind of tutelage even. So I reckon he probably will. He's got more experience than Gattuso does. So I reckon he'll probably win the battle. But at the same time, Gattuso has the Milan derby experience, something Spalletti just doesn't have as much of.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. I mean, you know, Maddy, do you reckon that Gattuso could, you know, potentially pull another trick out of the hat and, a tactical masterclass?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about a tactical masterclass. I mean, he's going to have the experience of playing in the derby. He's going to be able to, fire up the teams and show, you know, and help them, like, help pass on the passion. But Spalletti coached in the derbies last year, you know, so, you know, I'm not going to take that away from him because he's still a great coach. And so it's not like this is his first year of coaching in the Milan derby. So I don't think that, you know, I think that it's going to be decided on the field, not by the coaches. I mean, the coaches are going to have a deciding factor, but I think that once the whistle blows, that it's going to be all on the players.
Yeah, and often, you know, derby games come down to how the players react in certain situations. Obviously, it's a high, high pressure game for every single player involved, and sometimes the coaches can set up their team in what they think is the perfect shape, but as soon as they cross that white line in front of 80,000 people, everything just kind of turns on in itself. Cammy, there's the obvious names. I mean, you mentioned Nainggolan, and obviously Cardi is one of the obvious names. Who else should we, as Milan fans, be looking out for? Like, who should we be scared of in this Inter team at the moment?
I think Matteo Politano's an interesting one. Obviously, he arrived. He was maybe not the big name signing that was expected, but he certainly asserted himself in the team, and he's shown that he is capable of performing. He's managed to keep an experienced head and can drive out the team for the most part. He just looks a really interesting player who I think could cause you problems.
What about the back? Do you think that, you know, Skriniar, he has the potential to keep out Higuain? That's going to be an interesting battle.
Certainly, I think I can at points definitely see De Vrij, Skriniar kind of double team on Higuain, and I think keeping Higuain quiet will determine whether we can obviously win the match.
Maddy, do you reckon that that Higuain could announce himself on the derby stage with a match-winning performance, or are you worried about Inter's central defensive combination?
I think that with the way that Suso has been playing, Higuain will be able to at least get one goal. I mean, Suso had 5 assists last week between the Chievo game and his international game. So, I mean, the guy's in probably the best form of his life to date. So I definitely think that Suso being able to link up to Higuain is going to be the deciding factor on whether or not he's going to be able to get a goal.
Yeah, interesting that you mentioned Suso, because I was just going to ask Cammy. Suso's been a bit of a thorn in Inter's side when it comes to the derby. What does the Inter defence, or maybe even the Inter midfield, need to do to keep him quiet this time?
Crunch him early on. That's the simplest answer I think I can give. Put him out the game early, Raja goes right through him, and then maybe keep him quiet after that.
Who's expected to start left back?
I'd imagine it'll be Asamoah. He's maybe another player that could be watched. He's been Mr. Reliable, and he's certainly brought all his winning experience from Juventus and transferred that over when he's joined us.
You got him on a free transfer, didn't you?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Would you say that's probably one of the more acute buys of the summer window?
Yeah, certainly. I think it went under the radar, obviously. Nainggolan was a big deal. Lautaro Martinez, top Argentine-like talent, he comes in. And yeah, I definitely think he was probably one of the more under-the-radar signings we made, yeah.
And what about on the other side to Asamoah? I'm guessing Vasalko's been starting a lot at right-back.
He's been injured recently. He started the game against Spal, and by all accounts put in quite a good performance. He assisted on one of the goals, but then he pulled out of international duty. Now, the papers are kind of just putting this down to he needs a rest. He's had a long season. He was at the World Cup, and then had his injury. But I'd imagine it will be him. But failing that, I'm not all too sure who we could start there, given Danilo D'Ambrosio is also kind of struggling at the moment.
So that could be an interesting thing for us to exploit. Maddie, do you reckon we should be exploiting Inter's full-back positions and trying to get runners in behind?
I mean, I definitely think I don't think that we're going to be going down the middle. I think that Suso and Çalhanoğlu are going to be the ones who are going to be passing the ball into the box to be able to score. And that's the way that I see the game going, only because Inter's center backs have been so strong so far this season.
And it pains me to ask you this, Cammy, because obviously there's a hint of jealousy about this, but how are you enjoying being back in the Champions League?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Just
unfortunately, 2 wins from 2.
Yeah, far better than I think anyone could have really expected, obviously. Big challenge right after the derby, obviously, against Barcelona, which obviously we've all got, well, you perhaps might not, but certainly us in Arisi certainly have fond memories of the last time we were in Barcelona.
Yeah, I bet you do. Hopefully no more fond memories. So, you know, objectively for Inter this season, are you just looking to get back into the top four in the league?
I think we've definitely got to cement ourselves in the top four. I think.
Yeah, I didn't mean back into, I meant, you know, stay in the top four.
I think going for the title is a bit too early yet, but maybe from the next season or the season thereafter, but certainly it's Champions League qualification this season and I'll be happy.
And what about in the Champions League itself? Is it a case of if you, with the group that you got drawn, is it a case of getting to the knockout stages would represent a massive achievement for
the
club?
Yeah, no, I think it would represent a great achievement. Spurs have obviously become Champions League regulars, Barcelona are multi-time winners, and obviously as PSV showed us, they're no mugs even though they've lost their 2 games.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how you get on, actually. Hopefully, no more wins in the Champions League. Because I can't bear to see it, honestly, I really can't. What we need, ideally, is both teams back in the Champions League. That'd put Milan football firmly back on the map, I think.
100%.
I'll ask you, you know, as a final question for your prediction for the derby, both in terms of score and goal scorers.
Well, as I said, obviously earlier, favourite never wins. So let's go for 2-0 Milan, Higuain double. And by that, of course,
wow,
I'll be enjoying a few Peronis after the game because that means we'll win.
Yeah, you've covered your back there, haven't you, by going for a worst. I bet you'll have a tenner on Milan to win, won't you?
Oh, no, I don't think I could bet against my boys. Definitely not.
It's cushion the blow, though, if it happens.
No, I can't do that.
Maddie, I'm going to ask you for your prediction as well before Cammy goes.
I'm going to say 2-2 draw with Higuain scoring and then Cutrone coming on as a sub and getting a late goal to tie the game.
That'd be a pretty interesting game to watch. My mind doesn't really go much further back than that nil, that horrendous 0-0 draw that we had when we were the quote unquote home team in the second half of last season. it was an awful, awful game. And I think that similar kind of nerves will be at play here. I think it's such a big game for both squads. I think both teams are putting a really good run on the line. Both teams don't want to get rid of that unbeaten run. So I'm going to go for another 0-0 draw. So that way, if we see a goal, I'm going to be happy.
Hopefully an enter goal.
Although, to be fair,
I definitely don't agree.
To be fair, for once, I would feel a little bit sorry if we did spank you, because obviously I know you're going to be there and you've forked out some money to go there. So, but yeah, thank you very much for joining us, Cammy. I hope you have a really good trip out there.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, man, have fun.
Yeah, cheers, lads. It's been great being on here. Hopefully be on another time.
Yeah, definitely. Probably for the return game.
Hopefully.
Catch you later, mate.
See you later, guys.
See ya.
So, Madison, some interesting thoughts from the opposition there ahead of the derby. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting game. They always are amazing occasions.
They always are.
Is it one of the games that's on your bucket list in terms of getting out to San Siro for it?
Yeah. I have two bucket list games. One, the Merseyside Derby, and then the other one, the Milan Derby. I'm doing the Merseyside Derby this season. And hopefully the Milan Derby next season, if I have some money. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, fingers crossed for you, mate. The Merseyside Derby is going to be incredible for you. You're really going to really enjoy that.
Hopefully. I'm predicting we're going to get spanked, so.
I don't know. Liverpool are a bit up and down at the moment.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, we'll move on from the pre-derby talk, and hopefully next time, obviously, we record, we'll be recapping a win for us. And we'll move on to the games that have happened in between episodes. We'll start with the Europa League game, which was earlier this month. Not last Thursday, the one before. We played Olympiacos at home at San Siro. Went 1-0 down, and it took us until the 70th minute to equalise. And then we scored 3 goals in 10 minutes to complete the turnaround. And eventually we got the 3 points, thanks to the impact of Patrick Cutrone. Just how big was he in that game?
He was huge. And when I say huge, like, he just earned that new contract that he supposedly got this season. And I can't stress that enough. I was just in shock. The first half, I was watching the game, and I was like, here we go. Typical AC Milan, getting our hopes up. We're back in the European competition. First tough team that we face, we're just going to look terrible. Second half started off a little better. 70th minute rolls around, and by the 80th minute, I'm like, we're the champions of the world. You know? So I think that he is, I mean, him and Higuain playing off of each other are like fighting to play a 4-4-2 almost. That's a dangerous formation to play, though, because we don't really have a backup striker yet. So I don't know what will happen in January, but he is a tremendous young talent, and I am so excited to have him on AC Milan and to see what his future holds.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that we've mentioned before on the podcast. Do you reckon that it's a case of, you know, rather than there being a direct competition between the two, that Cutrone is actually learning from one of the best in Higuain, and there are going to be times when he actually, you know, comes on and makes an impact in his own right?
Yeah, I think that is exactly correct. I mean, pretty sure it was this summer when we were linked with Cavani. I was like, I don't want Cavani, he's old. And then we signed Higuain, and I was like, yeah, we got Higuain, he can teach Cutrone, you know. And AJ was just like, you're an idiot, dude. You just complained about having a different old strike, you know. So I think that he's going to learn from Higuain. I don't think that, I mean, I think you're a professional athlete. There is going to be competition to start, and you're going to want to start. I think that he sees this as a learning opportunity, but in the coming maybe season or two, he's going to want to take over that starting position.
Yeah, without a doubt. Totally agree with you there. And hopefully he does. There's definitely the scope for him to do that. Should we be worried that it took us 70 minutes to score in this game? Because San Siro, you know, is an interesting environment to play football in when things aren't going well for Milan. The crowd does tend to get on the players' backs a little bit. You know, obviously Olympiacos have been in the Champions League recently.
Yep.
And they're no mugs. You know, they put in a pretty decent performance in the first half to keep us at bay. Should we be worried that it took us so long to get a breakthrough?
Yes and no. We had Castillejo starting for Calhanoglu. So I think that he still has not had a lot of time to mesh with the team. And definitely for a game that is so important, he may have had a little bit of nerves. Because as soon as Cutrone and Calhanoglu came on, the game immediately changed. And so I think that the players who were playing had a little something to do with that as well. Because, I mean, Bakayoko started as well. And he didn't have the greatest game of his career.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what did you think about Bakayoko? Because, you know, we'll get on to this. But, well, actually, no, we might as well talk about it now. The papers have been saying that he's basically got a few games to save his loan spell at Milan and that Gattuso is really not happy with him. Do you think this was one of those games where it kind of showed exactly why Gattuso's not lost a bit of faith with him?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a giant player. I'm pretty sure in the first half he had a chance in the box and he just completely overthought it and screwed it up. And I actually heard on the radio this afternoon that Gattuso is giving him 6 games and he has 2 games left to prove his worth. And if he does not prove it, he is going to send him back to Chelsea and we are going to pay whatever we have to pay to send him back. So, I mean, he was really good at Monaco. For his size, and I mean, you want a big midfielder. So I really hope in these next 2 games that he plays in, he gets 2 goals in each game and, you know, an assist, because I would really love to have him on the team as long as, you know, he progresses, because his first touch is horrible and he just looks like he's a little lost out there.
Yeah, and it's in a time where, given how condensed our fixture schedule is going to be, we are in serious need of midfield depth.
Absolutely.
So that could become a bit of a problem. If, to me, it suggests that, you know, he put in an encouraging performance in the game at, where was it? He put in a decent performance in one of the games recently. And I remember sort of asking you if it was like him turning a corner.
I think that was against Dudelange.
Yeah, I was going to say it was in the other Europa League game. Obviously, the opposition, with no disrespect to Dudelange, it's not quite the same level, but it's confidence at the end of the day. But now he seems to have regressed again. And also you've got to question, given that we don't really have a plethora of midfield options at our disposal at the moment, whether there's something more to it and whether Gattuso's not happy with his effort in training level, his effort levels in training, his attitude. You know, it makes you wonder if there is a bit more to it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's not settling well within the team. Do we have any other Frenchmen on the team?
That's a good question. No, I don't think we do.
We used to, but I don't know if we do anymore.
We've had some interesting French players in the past. Jeremy Menez, yeah, Philippe Mexès.
Philippe Mexès, man, I miss him.
Yeah, I do too, actually. Adil Rami, he was French, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some interesting French players, but I don't think we do currently, no. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. But yeah, I just really, really think that we're... It might be a case of let's just survive until January and then we can bring in one or two midfield rotation options, because at the moment I'm starting to question whether it is a case of his performances on the field or whether him and Gattuso, you know, Bakayoko and Gattuso, that is, have had a bit of a fallout and and we're starting to see that in the public eye now. We'll see. I mean, our next Europa League fixture comes on Thursday night. It's the Thursday after the derby on Sunday. We've got Real Betis at home. Obviously, we're top of our group with 6 points from six, and we're 5 points ahead of third place, which is, you know, a great position to be in after just two games. Is it a case of if we win that game against Betis, then we've pretty much done it in terms of qualification? No.
I did the math in my head after the Olympiacos game. I was like, shit, like, we may have done it, because after Real Betis at home, get 3 points there, like, we're good. We still have Olympiacos and Real Betis away, and those are two crucial games that we have to get at least a point from, because you know that they're going to beat Dude Lange, and so it's just a matter of, you know, keeping that cycle going, because we do not want to lose both those away games. I kind of wish that the games would be staggered a little bit. So kind of Olympiacos at home, Real Betis away, you know, Real Betis, you know, kind of like that. So we, I mean, it's going to be nice to have an early start having all these home games, but at the same time, it's kind of nerve wracking because you don't want to get all these points, then take the foot off the gas and screw yourself.
It's not really like we have a massive squad to rotate players either.
Yeah.
Although we do have, you know, we do have a couple of areas where we could do with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of freshening up from time to time. Players in particular like Kessier and Belia, where they cover tremendous amounts of ground in games. It'd be nice to have a genuine rest, because, like I say, the fixtures are piling up now. Like, we've got that rearranged Genoa game the midweek after this, so we're sort of playing. Between the 21st of October and the 8th of November, we play six games. I don't know how many days that is. Let's say it's about 19 days. Six games.
We have six games in 19 days. Yeah, so I mean, game every 3 or 4 days then.
Yeah. And this is exactly what we knew was basically coming up. And, you know, it might be a bit selfish, but, you know, when you hear that Romagnoli and Cotrone weren't going to be part of the Italy... Italy squad because of slight injuries, I think it was, you sort of breathe a sigh of relief, because they're going to be rested for these key games that are coming up. I mean, obviously we've got Inter, which is a huge game, Real Betis, which can shape our Europa League campaign to an extent. Now we've got two home games against Sampdoria and Genoa, and we've got Udinese away. So those are three games there where, you know, again, if we win those games, then all of a sudden the UCL qualification is back on. I know it's only early, but, you know, we've got ground to make up. But it's a crucial period of the season where we need to pick up as many points as we can. And doing that, the best chance of doing that comes from us having fully fit players.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So, yeah, moving on from the Olympiacos game, our most recent fixture, most recent Serie A fixture as well, we won 3-1 at home again against Chievo. It was an important win. I mean, our record at home against Chievo is pretty good anyway. But, you know, once again, we've mentioned it already, but the link-up between Suso and Higuain, it was just fantastic to watch.
Yeah, it was. And finally watching them to be able to connect and really make a difference in the game, because you've kind of watched them struggle at the beginning of the season and then recently start to connect. And this was a really good game for them to finally break through that shell and just dominate, because, I mean, yeah, we have a good record against Chievo, but, you know, sometimes against these weaker teams, we play down to their talent and no disrespect to them, but this time we really controlled the match, and, you know, Suso got his double assists and Higuain got his first double. So, I mean, the team is on fire right now.
He actually got three assists, Suso.
Oh, yeah, three.
Yeah, that's where the five comes from in total in the last in the last couple of games.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, a mental, because he does this thing, does Suso, you know. We seem to talk at length about him every episode now. But he does this thing, Suso. He's so important to us as a creative force. But he'll go through this run of games where he looks virtually unplayable. Now, partly that might be down to the opponent. Obviously, Olympiakos in the Europa League and Kievo at home at San Siro. Perhaps he needs to keep that level of performance for the big games. But at the same time, we've just spoken to Cammy about how important Suso has been in previous derbies, so you can't really criticise him for not showing up in big games either. But what we need and what this team needs is for him to keep being the creative force that he is. Once he stops constantly looking for the shot and he lifts his head up, that's when we start to see things like this. Because now he's got a man in the middle in Higuain who he trusts firmly to stick the ball in the back of the net every time he puts a good ball in.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I feel like this is how it happens every season. Around the October, November time, he starts to, you know, do really well. Heating up February time, he starts to cool off a little bit. And I don't know if it's just the team in general or Suso. Because I remember the second half of last season, he was virtually invisible. And so I don't know if it was just the players that he was playing with, because he didn't really have, you know, he had Kalinic playing up top. And I think we can all agree that that was not the most exciting thing to play. So he probably felt like he needed to play in more and take the shot to make that difference. Where now, like what you said, he can finally play the ball into Higuain. Then, you know, last 20 minutes of the game, when the defense is tired, bring on Cutrone. You know, he's got fresh legs. He's fast. Again, it's just, you know, keep on hitting that back line. And so I think he's finally happy that he has, you know, people to take shots in the box.
Yeah, without a doubt. And another player who really impressed in this game, and I mean, I've definitely mentioned before how important that he can be when he's on his game. He literally is the player that the system runs through. Lucas Bilia had a fantastic performance. He absolutely bossed the midfield. His passing was on point, and actually made quite a few decent runs forward to drive the play. Bilia, you know, on his day, showed how vital he can be to us.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think he has cemented his spot as that defensive center midfielder for us that we've been missing for so long. Because for so long we were stuck with Montolivo, who was passing the ball side by side and backwards. And Baglia is not scared to pass that ball up, get in dangerous positions to take on that defense, and to really kind of let the offense kind of get into position and then play the ball out. And you know, he's great tackling. I have nothing negative to say about him right now, so
which makes
all praise.
Yeah, you, that's definitely jinxed it now. So another important 3 points. I'm just looking at our fixtures. Like I mentioned, we've got Sampdoria and Genoa as our fixtures after Inter. So two winnable home games, then Udinese away. Which is, a winnable away game. Again, no disrespect to those teams involved, but ambition-wise, we've got to be going for 3 points in those games. So it's kind of exciting times in this stretch. We've got a lot of games in a close amount of time. So, yeah, we'll look forward to recapping some of those. But in the meantime, so I suppose we better talk about some of the other news that's been going on in and around the club. Particularly in the past week, it's broken that we have an agreement in place for an exciting young Brazilian player, Lucas Paqueta, I think that's how you pronounce it, from Flamengo. Personally, I don't know about you, I don't know a lot about the player. I just hear that he's meant to be an incredibly talented kind of young player, and Kaká has spoken very highly of him recently.
Yeah.
Says that he doesn't think that he should be compared to some of the great names that have come out of Brazil, which is fair because, you know, all hype is pressure, basically. Are you excited about this, given the competition that we've supposedly beaten to land him?
I mean, we beat PSG and Barcelona to land him. And I love my Brazilian midfielders. I mean, Ronaldinho was one of the reasons that I really started to love AC Milan. So I'm definitely happy to have a Brazilian here. I know he wasn't here that long, and you know, he really didn't do that much for the club. But when I really started to pay attention to soccer, he was the guy here. And he was the player to pay attention to. So it's nice to have a Brazilian here to kind of follow up what him and Kaká and all those other great Brazilians have done. And hopefully he can live up to that hype, because we've also had Brazilians like Robinho who have completely flopped. So just because he's Brazilian does not mean that he is going to be great. But given the teams that are going after him, the players, like the what he's been able to do in the Brazilian league, I've watched some of his highlights. He's great at dribbling, needs to work on his passing a little bit. But I mean, overall, extremely exciting to finally see AC Milan competing for players of that, you know, in that pedigree and be able to win them.
Yeah, on that note, do you think that that is like a testament to the project that the new owners are putting in place, and particularly the new kind of leadership of Leonardo and Maldini? Do you think that that's, those two have had such a big part in it that they, you know, it's an indication that they really have put the wheels in motion in terms of bringing the club back to the elite?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's more of a testament to Leonardo because, I mean, everywhere he's gone, he's been able to get those Brazilian guys. So, I mean, I'm going to give the credit to him. He wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the new management, so I got to thank them as well. But I think that he is definitely one of the big reasons why he chose to come to AC Milan.
And where do you see, assuming he does arrive in January, like the quotes seem to suggest that he will arrive in January, where do you see him fitting into the team at the moment? I personally can't see him starting straight away because I think we've got a pretty established 11. And also he's going to need time to adapt to the style of play. And he's going to need time to adapt to his new surroundings. Thrusting him straight into the starting 11 at such a young age could be almost detrimental rather than beneficial. What do you think will happen when he arrives?
I think that he will be coming off the bench. I think he'll be a sub for Bonaventura, who plays kind of like out wide in the midfield, out like a left or right mid position. And then Lucas will kind of play a center attacking mid, and Kise will drop back to play with Biglia as more of a central holding midfielder.
Mm-hmm.
Or he will come on for Çalhanoğlu, because I've heard he can play
winger,
a winger as well. So both of those are options. I would personally like to see him play more as a center attacking mid, because we already have Castejo as depth for a winger. But I mean, hey, if this kid can kill it as a winger, by all means, play him as a winger. I'm just a super fan, you know.
yeah, absolutely. And at 35 million euros, I mean, you look at some of the fees that have been paid for other supposed wonder kids like Vinicius Jr. and players like that. Do you think 35 million euros could prove to be a bit of a bargain?
I think so. I mean, his buyout clause was 50, is if what the rumors are correct. And so to get him for 35, and that 35 is also with $5 million or a $10 million agent fee and fee to the player. So I don't know how that's broken up. So really the club is getting half of what their buyout clause was, and then like a bonus to the player and the agent. So I think it's a steal. As long as he pans out, it's a steal. If he, you know, God forbid, doesn't pan out, then, you know, we cross that bridge when we get there. But as I see it now, it's a steal.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think at 35 million, especially the way that the deal is structured, it's a pretty low risk investment for Milan, because obviously we've seen some of the comparisons that he's had with Kaká, which he doesn't like. Kaká himself doesn't like, you know, that Paqueta's been compared to him, purely because he thinks it's going to be bad for the player. But God, it would be exciting to have another player like that. You know, another technical, quick, intelligent, sharp player, a link between the midfield and the attack, and a goal threat. It would be amazing. And I feel like we can get ahead of ourselves a bit too much sometimes. But this is a big thing. And I was happy to see it, because obviously also my full-time job is writing for a website called Team Talk, and I've written so much about him and the Premier League interest in him, and, you know, talking about the potential price tag that could be involved. And then all of a sudden it comes out that we've managed to snap it up. So yeah, that's Lucas Paqueta covered. Hopefully we've got a bit more information on him next time we record. He might have taken his medicals by then, signed the contracts, etc. Another little story that came out this week, and there's been conflicting reports on it, let's say, but Sky were the ones who went with it most, that Zlatan Ibrahimovic could be in line for a return to Milan in January. What was your initial reaction to that, and what are your thoughts on it now?
Yeah, me and AJ, like, it kind of came out the last time that we recorded, but there's definitely been a lot more on it since. The last time we recorded, we were both pretty excited, but he has to be willing to take a backseat to Cutrone and Higuain, because those guys are our starting strikers. They are here on a permanent basis and not here on a loan. So, I mean, I don't know if Zlatan plays second fiddle to anybody, but he will have to, and he will have to learn what it's like to sit on the bench and wait for his time to come on and play. I'm excited, though, to say. I mean, I don't think anyone wouldn't be excited to have Zlatan back. He is... Anytime he has the ball, like, he could just shoot at 90 miles an hour and
produce magic, basically.
Yeah, you know, and
it's been a while. I think. In fact, I don't think we've had a player since like Ibrahimovic who, when he walks onto a football field, he basically commands it. He owns that pitch.
Yeah,
he's an absolute. I think he can be likened to Eric Cantona when he was at Man United, in terms of, you know, he had this. I don't think that the personality that Zlatan portrays to the media is anything other than an act. You know, he's not actually that arrogant. He does it to play up to the media and basically, like, have them on puppet strings. But at the same time, he does play with that confidence and that arrogance. And I really think it's something that we could use in this squad at the moment. Higuain has kind of brought that edge. You know, he knows he's a good striker, and now he's starting to reap the rewards, and he's playing with confidence, and that's great. But in terms of someone who can just come in and grab game by a scruff of a neck, and also, you know, he can mentor and he can motivate some of the young players around. And I wouldn't rule out a future role within the club for Zlatan, because he's been nothing but complimentary about the club since he left.
Yeah, I mean, he was here for, what, maybe two or three seasons?
Yeah.
And he just... never says anything bad about the club, which, I mean, from a fan standpoint, it is awesome, because he's played for, you know, Barcelona, Inter, Juve, PSG, mm-hmm. United. You know, he's played for all these huge clubs, and for him to say that AC Milan was, like, the best club that he's ever played for is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of compare him to Higuain, in my eyes, during some of the past few games, when Higuain wasn't getting the ball, he was kind of whining a little bit.
Mm.
And if I was a player on the pitch and he was whining, I'd be like, stop whining. Mm. If Zlatan was like, pass me the ball, I'd be like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely like a different kind of commanding presence on the field.
Yeah, without a doubt. Totally agree. So a player, speaking of the striker situation that we have, a little bit more's come out. He's in red hot form, basically. We've loaned Andreas Silva to Sevilla, and he seems to have turned into, I don't know, Maradona. he's been incredible since he moved there. And obviously, a lot has come out since about this buyout clause in his contract, which is currently set at 35 million euros. And he's given an interview in midweek where he's basically not ruled out the potential of returning to Milan. Would you like to see him given another crack, or do you think that basically Sevilla are going to pay that buyout if he carries on?
Yeah, what I think he meant by that is he's 21, maybe 22. He has a super long career ahead of him. For him to say now that he isn't going to come back to AC Milan, I mean, hopefully he has another 15 years left of professional soccer, would be, you know, kind of sad to say, because, I mean, he we brought him over from the Portuguese league. Then we loaned him out to Sevilla. He's playing great. Sevilla is more than likely going to buy him. And then he's going to, you know, see a 3 or 4 year contract there. And maybe he comes back to AC Milan after that. If we have some kind of buyback clause in there, I think we would already know if there's a buyback clause or not. But I don't think that he's going to say no to a contract at Sevilla after this loan. I think he's going to, you know, that's my take.
Well, yeah, and especially if he's scoring goals, he's going to feel incredibly settled there. And Sevilla are a big club as well. Like, you know, we shouldn't talk down about Sevilla. Like, he would jump at the chance to come back here. Because Sevilla have won major European honours in the last 5 years. You know, they've won 3 Europa Leagues in a row, which is absolutely mental. And that's the... that's the competition that we're trying to win this time. So, fair play to him. I'm glad to see he's doing well because he scored a couple of important goals for us last season. Took him a bit of time to get going, especially in Serie A. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Andre Silva because, you know, obviously we posted the article and asked fans for their thoughts on whether they'd like to see him back, and a lot of people said yeah, they'd like to see him given another chance. Let's see what happens with that. That'd be interesting. And just finally, in terms of recapping the news, touched on it earlier, but it's been officially announced, not necessarily in the form of a communication by the club, but through the financial report that's come out for the 2018 year. It has been confirmed that Patrick Cutrone has signed a new 5-year deal, which runs up until the summer of 2023. And he's expected to earn over $1 million a season in total. And perhaps most importantly, there's no buyout clause included in his contract because there has been rumours that there's interest from teams like Borussia Dortmund. Just a fantastic move by the club to tie him up long term.
I think it's fantastic. I don't think... I'm going to knock on wood right now, and I don't want to jinx anything for all AC Milan fans out there. I don't think he's ever going to go anywhere. I think that he is the player and has the faith to the team that we all wanted Donnarumma to have before all that controversy came out about him. I think Donnarumma is going to be the same thing, but you can tell when Cutrone scores and he kisses that badge and runs over to the fans, that is just 100% pure love. Granted, players leave clubs that they love all the time. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's staying.
Does he remind you of another famous Milan number 9 in Pippo Inzaghi?
Oh, 1,000%. The way he gets into the box and, you know, just gets those, tap-in goals, or his goal against Olympiacos was
beautiful
insane.
Beautiful header.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I was just, you know, like that was a world-class goal. And he's 20, I think he's 20 now,
yeah.
Or 19. Just insane. You know, so I'm really excited. I have a smile on my face talking about it right now.
It's such a big statement of intent from the club. I'm along the same line of thought as you. I don't think there was ever a chance that he was going to leave because Milan is his boyhood club. He's come up through the system here. You can tell, like you say, by his celebrations, how much he loves the club, how much he wants to perform for the fans. And his record speaks for itself. I mean, since he broke through, he scored 24 goals in 54 first-team appearances, not starts, that's appearances. And when you bear in mind that quite a few of those appearances will be the 10 minutes that he got at the end of games under Montella. You know, it's a really, really impressive record. And obviously, it was
the only
striker to hit double figures in Serie A last season for us. Sorry, the only player, full stop, to hit double figures in Serie A for us last season. And he's 20 years old. It's scary. Like, he's not going to peak for another 5 years. And he's already looking so instinctive. And he's got the personality and the passion to match. I really think that he's going to be a really special player for us. And I really hope he is as well, because he seems like a genuinely nice kid off the field as well.
Yeah, and him and Locatelli have such a good relationship too. I follow them both on Instagram, and they're always like posting pictures with each other or commenting on each other's pictures is just kind of cool to see, you know.
Yeah, it'd be good to see Locatelli impress at Sassuolo and maybe somehow find himself back here as well.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a testament as well to how our youth system, unlike what AJ said in the last episode.
Yeah, that got me really fired up.
Yeah. It's just so important, I think, that we keep pushing through our own players. Really important because it instantly creates a connection with the fans. You know, when you've got a spine of the team that is full of young players that have come through the system, you know, you're looking at Donnarumma, Calabria, you know, obviously Cotrone, and Locatelli was one, of course. But yeah, it just, like I say, instantly creates a connection with the fans, and any success on the field feels like a real success for the team in general and for the organisation. So yeah, I think that's about it. Any closing thoughts?
I'm looking at our midfielders right now on the season preview. We have Jose Mori, Bonaventura, Bakayoko, Montolivo, Beglia, Matteo Gabbia. I assume he's a young kid. Torizzi, Halalovic, Kise, and Bertolucci. Where do Kise's and Beglia's substitutes come from? All those guys are not holding midfielders. If Montolivo, whenever Montolivo comes on the field, I'd turn the game off because I refuse to watch him play.
Yeah, I don't think Montolivo is going to be around for much longer, to be fair.
No.
I mean, at the club, I don't mean he's going to die or anything.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no. Good. That's an interesting point. Obviously, you've got... I'm assuming that in this argument that Bakayoko is not going to be sent back early. I think Bakayoko is seen as Kessie's replacement as an out-and-out box-to-box midfielder. Yes. But you could also argue that he's going to be Bonaventura's replacement because he can find himself further forward. In terms of a holding midfielder or a midfielder to sit deep, we saw Jose Mauri do it against Dudelange where he almost played a register role. But I don't think he has the size to be a holding midfielder. You know, he's only a small kid. And also, he just doesn't have the experience to do it either. He's not somebody who, if there was an injury to Belia, for example, and it came out that we were going to drop Mauri into that position for the derby, everyone would lose their minds. Like, that's the kind of position that we're in. I personally don't understand why we didn't go more aggressively after Milan Badel, a player that we were linked with extensively when he was at Fiorentina, especially when Montella was here, obviously. We didn't go for him, despite the fact that he was, you know, apparently available on a free and wanted the move here. And I think, you know, given the fact that he's what, will he be like 32 now or something? I think he would have been happy to play a rotation role. Wow, no, he's 29. Jeez. But yeah, instead he's gone to Lazio, and I won't lie and pretend like I know how he's getting on there, but just feels like we perhaps are a little bit short in terms of midfield, as I understand what you're saying there.
So, real quick, not, you know, diving deep into this, who is a couple young guys that you would like us to get in January who are available, not like, you know, going after the best center midfielder that you can think of, but some guys who you think that we'd actually have a chance of getting?
That's interesting. Puts me on the spot a little bit there. In terms of players that I think would be affordable and would provide good, genuine depth and competition, yeah. I think Hector Herrera is a good player. Porto midfielder, he's been linked a lot with a move to the Premier League. He's been linked with Inter, actually, as well. I think given his contract situation, he might be available on the cheap as well. He could play either of the Bonaventura or perhaps not the Kessie role in the same way, but just in terms of covering quite a lot of ground in midfield. Who else could we go for? I'm struggling to think of an anchor midfielder who would be available, because obviously they're so.
I'm thinking try and get Yuri Tielemans on a 6-month loan with an option to buy, because he was great in Belgium. Went to Monaco, had an all right season last season. Monaco's doing real bad this season. And we might, and then get him on a loan, test him out, see if he can actually play there. If not, send him back if he can pull the trigger.
I'll tell you someone, actually. I just thought of someone. Someone who could potentially play as a holding midfielder or someone who could play as box-to-box, and he's not getting game time and apparently wants an exit, and we've been linked with him before, Ander Herrera from Man United.
I would like that.
That's it, honestly, like, you know, perhaps the last year for him hasn't been great under Mourinho, but how many Man United players can you say it has been great for them?
I was about to say that.
And, well, yeah, and the thing is, after that was it the 2015-16 season that he was, there were so many United fans who were saying that they wanted him to be named captain purely because of the leadership that he was showing on the field, and he would, you know, in a difficult era, he looked like the only player who really cared. Since then, obviously, Nemanja Matic has come in and who's a favourite of Mourinho's. And then you've got Pogba, who's playing more often than not alongside him. And you've got, surprisingly, Scott McTominay, who's getting quite a lot of game time, given that Mourinho keeps slagging him off in public. But yeah, I think Herrera would be exactly the kind of shrewd addition that we could make, because I think his levels of energy and his willingness to get stuck in, but also he's quite good on the ball. I think that's perfect skill set for Serie A. I mean, you saw how Torreira flourished before his move to Arsenal, flourished here in Serie A, and I think he could be obviously a similar kind of player, but he's got that experience of playing at the very top level.
I definitely agree. Is Aaron Ramsey a holding, or is he attacking? I don't really watch much Arsenal.
He's definitely not holding. He's somewhere between a central midfielder and an attacking midfielder. He can't play an out-and-out number 10 like Ozil does, but I think in a midfield three, he's perfect to go on like either side of the holding midfielder. And, you know, we keep being linked with him. For what it's worth, I'm not reading much into it, because we were linked quite a lot with Jack Wilshere, for example. And, you know, we've been linked with so many British players who have reached a difficult contract situation, and all of a sudden it's come out that that Milan want to sign them, or that there's interest from abroad, and, you know, nothing ever really comes of it, and more often than not they choose to stay in England and in the Premier League because they do eventually get an offer. And I don't think that Ramsey will be short of offers, because he is a very, very I'll describe him as a dynamic player on his day. You know, he can get on the ball a lot, and he can score some amazing goals, and his vision is very good as well. So I don't hold much hope in that, but he would be someone who I would absolutely love to see in a Milan shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And something I find interesting about English players, they don't really leave England. They'll be rumored with like teams abroad, but they generally choose to stay at home.
It's interesting as well, because you look at last season, obviously, Joe Hart did actually take that plunge. He wasn't getting any game time at Man City, obviously. So he then got the loan move to Torino, and it kind of sparked him a little bit, you know. And since then, he's gone to Burnley, I believe it is. And
Is it Burnley or West Ham?
It's one of the teams that plays in claret and blue. But, you know, it was rumoured that it is Burnley, yeah. He was on loan at West Ham from Man United. From Man City, sorry. And, you know, the rumour was that Torino were interested in getting him in on loan again, but he chose instead to move to Burnley, which I just find it interesting. I think you're right, there's a comfort zone when it comes to English players, but I think that's starting to go now. Like, you look at Jadon Sancho, who's gone to Borussia Dortmund, and he's thriving. And I think that more young English players who aren't going to get game time should take that lead. Obviously, we're not necessarily in the market for 18, 19-year-old kids who we can develop.
Yeah.
We're more in the market for players who are already established and experienced and can take us to the next level. But, you know, the fact still remains that there's a bit of a stigma when it comes to English players actually leaving England. It's seen as quite a big deal. So, yeah, we'll see how that one develops.
Yeah.
We'll see how all the rumours develop. We're getting closer to January now, so no doubt there'll be more and more interesting speculation in the meantime. We'll wrap up this episode. And before we end it, we need to obviously send a special thank you to our sponsors, Euro Fantasy League. Make sure to check out their website, that's eurofantasyleague.com, to join in on the fun. And once again, go to our Twitter page for more information on the league that we're currently running. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us. I've been your host, Oliver Fisher. You can find me on Twitter once again at Ollie Fisher. For some Milan related rants, you can find me at Kilpin Chronicle. I've been joined by Maddie.
Yep, it's been a great episode. Been a long week without doing one, but you guys can find me on Twitter at Madison_DT. And if you guys listen on Spotify, please follow us.
Yeah, and of course, quickly before I end this here, please download our app. It's available on the Apple Store, on the Google Play Store, and for Android. So yeah, go download that. We might have some exciting news to bring about our app in the very near future, so stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, make sure that you've got it on your phone for all the latest Milan news. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and hopefully the next time we record, we're recapping a derby win. Thank you very much, and goodbye.